Okay, so let's just dive right in. We've all seen the headlines, right? Car market crashing, or on the flip side, why are cars still so expensive? It really feels like we're getting these totally mixed signals. You walk by a dealership and the lot is just
Filling
overflowing.
onto the sidewalk, practically.
Exactly. But then you look at the sticker price and it's still astronomical.
It's just this huge economic paradox right now, isn't it?
It is, and that's exactly why I wanted us to look at this specific report for today's deep dive. It's called The Road Ahead: Year-End Automotive Retail Projections. Now, look, usually these reports are pretty dry,
To say the least.
but this one, specifically this section, What to Expect at Year-End, it reads like a thriller. It's painting this picture of an industry hurtling towards a cliff, just arguing about who's going to hit the brakes first.
It really is a standoff. I've read a lot of forecasting documents, but this one is different because it highlights this massive, massive disconnect.
A disconnect between.
Well, you have inventory levels hitting 5-year highs, you have interest rates just acting as this huge drag on everything, and then you have consumers who've just they've hit a wall,
No.
an affordability wall.
The affordability wall, that's the phrase that jumped out at me, too. It sounds ominous. But okay, before we get to the consumer side, let's start where the actual cars are sitting.
On the lots.
On the lots. The report leads with inventory data, and the numbers are. Well, they're wild. Can we break down this day's supply metric that it keeps mentioning?
Of course.
Because to me, it looks like a disaster waiting to happen.
It's definitely flashing some red lights. So, day supply is basically the industry standard for how long it would take to sell every single car on a lot at the current sales pace if no new cars came in.
Okay.
A healthy, a balanced market is usually around a 60-day supply. It's efficient. You have choices. The dealer isn't drowning.
And according to this report, The Road Ahead, where are we right now?
Well, the industry average is pushing 80 days. But even that average is sort of hiding the real story. If you dig in and look at the domestic legacy automakers, the big truck and SUV guys, some of them are sitting on 110, even 120 days of supply.
Wait, 120
Yep,
days.
that's 4 months of cars just sitting there depreciating, gathering dust.
4 months. So if I'm running a dealership, I'm just looking at rows of trucks. I can't move.
Right.
And this is where the report gets a bit technical, but I think we have to explain it. It talks about floor plan expenses. This isn't just about parking space, is it?
No. And this is the invisible killer. Most people think dealers own the cars on their lot. They don't.
They don't.
No, they take out huge loans to buy that inventory from the manufacturer. That loan is the floor plan. And, when interest rates were near zero, holding a car for 6 months cost almost nothing.
But now.
But now, with rates where they are, every single day a $60,000 truck sits on that lot, it is costing the dealer real money and interest.
Like, how much are we talking?
We're talking hundreds of dollars per car per month just
Yeah.
for the privilege of parking it.
So the dealer is basically bleeding cash. That explains the panic in the year-end section. They have to clear these things out.
They have to.
But here's the thing I don't get, and I think this is what frustrates everyone listening. If they're that desperate to sell, why aren't we seeing these like 2019 style fire sales? Why isn't the price just dropping through the floor?
That is the multi-billion dollar question. And the report, it really points to a standoff
A standoff between who?
between the dealer and the manufacturer. The dealers have already shaved their margins as thin as they can. They're discounting. But the MSRP, the manufacturer's college, suggested retail price that's still set by the automaker.
And the automakers got used to the huge profits they were making during the pandemic shortages.
You got addicted to them. So now the manufacturers are basically saying, that's the price, you figure it out. And the dealers are screaming back, we can't sell them at this
It's
price.
a game of chicken.
Exactly. And the report predicts that this game is going to break in the fourth quarter. It says, and I'm quoting here, incentive spend must increase by 15% to clear model year overhang.
Which is just a polite way of saying the manufacturers are going to have to start throwing cash on the hood.
Piles of it. Or the
Oops.
dealers are just going to stop ordering new cars, which nobody wants.
Okay, so we've got a glut of expensive trucks, but the road ahead makes a really interesting distinction here. It's not everything, is it?
No.
Because if I go looking for, say, a hybrid right now, it feels like a totally different story.
It's a tale of two markets. This is one of the most fascinating things in the whole document. While trucks and EVs are piling up, and we'll get to EVs, the day supply for hybrids is hovering around 35 days.
35. That's barely a month. They're flying off the shelves.
They arrive and they're gone. Consumers are smart. They're doing the math. They see high gas prices. They want efficiency. But maybe they aren't ready for the full jump to electric.
Or they can't afford that premium.
Right. So hybrids are the sweet spot. The report actually warns that dealers might be understocked on hybrids going into this year-end sales push.
Let's talk about that EV disconnect. The report has this whole section on the EV inventory correction. A couple years ago, it was just straight to the moon, right? Exponential growth.
Everyone was going to have a Tesla or a Mach-E, yes.
So what does the data say now?
It says the early adopters have all bought their cars. We've moved from the eager tech enthusiast phase to the pragmatic mass market phase.
And the mass market is price sensitive.
Very. The report shows EV inventory is sitting roughly 25% longer than gas-powered inventory.
Ouch!
Yeah. And that's a problem because the tech in EVs ages so much faster. A gas car sitting for 6 months is fine. An EV sitting for 6 months, people start worrying about battery health or if the software is already outdated.
So what's the prediction there?
The report predicts we're going to see some of the most aggressive leasing deals in history on EVs this December.
Ah, because leasing gets around those tricky tax credit issues.
It does. And it forces that monthly payment down. And that brings us right back to that affordability wall.
Right.
The report shows the average monthly payment for a new car has stabilized, but it's stabilized at a historically painful number. We're seeing nearly 17% of new car loans with a monthly payment over $1,000.
That's a mortgage payment in some parts of the country for a car.
It is completely unsustainable. And the source connects this directly to the year-end risk. The pool of people who can even qualify for that kind of loan is shrinking. Lenders are tightening up.
Because people are missing payments.
Delinquency rates are ticking up, yes.
I saw that chart on negative equity. Honestly, this scared me more than anything else in the report. Can you walk us through what's happening with trade-ins?
This is what I call the doom loop of auto retail. During the pandemic, people paid over a sticker price for cars.
They had no choice.
Right. They paid $50,000 for a car that was maybe worth $40,000. Now, 2 or 3 years later, they want to trade it in, but the market has normalized. So now they owe $45,000 on the loan, but the car is only worth $30,000.
So they're $15,000 underwater.
Exactly. And to buy a new car, they have to roll that $15,000 into the new loan. Suddenly you're not financing a $50,000 car, you're financing a $65,000 debt on a $50,000 asset.
And the banks are just saying no.
Lenders are looking at that and saying, no way. It stops the sale dead. The report calls it the trade cycle disruption.
Which is a very polite way of saying the customer is broke.
It is. And that's why the year-end predictions are so focused on something called subvented rates.
Subvented rates. Okay, break that down for us.
It's just industry jargon for when the manufacturer, Ford, Toyota, whoever, acts like the bank and offers an interest rate that's way lower than the market rate. So the Fed says rates are 5%. A bank might charge you 7%, but the automaker says we'll give you a loan at 1.9%.
So they're basically eating the cost of the interest to make the monthly payment look okay.
Exactly. It costs them billions, but the report argues it is the only lever they have left to pull. They can't just drop the sticker price without crushing resale values.
And angering everyone who bought one last year.
Precisely. So they subsidize the loan instead. The projection is we will see 0% or 1.9% offers on 72-month loans return this December.
That is a huge takeaway for anyone listening. If you have good credit, the end of this year could be a golden window.
It could be.
Because the manufacturers are desperate, but they have to hide it in the financing.
Yes. But, and it's a big but in the report, this only applies to certain cars.
Right.
You want that hot hybrid SUV, don't expect a deal. You want the full-size truck that's been sitting on the lot for 110 days, you hold all the cards.
Let's go back to the dealership perspective. The report has a section called the service absorption factor. What is that about?
It's their lifeline. Service absorption is the percentage of a dealership's operating costs, rent, salaries, lights, that are covered just by the service department.
So oil changes, brake jobs, repairs.
All of it. The goal for a dealership is 100% absorption. If your service department pays all the bills, then every car you sell is pure profit.
And what's the trend there?
The report shows absorption is up because people aren't buying new cars. They're fixing their old ones. The average age of a car on the road is now over 12 years old.
That's ancient.
It is. So while the sales floor might be quiet, The service bays are booked solid for weeks.
Which creates this really weird tension, right? The dealer is making money, just not in the way the manufacturer wants them to.
Massive tension. The manufacturer is all about volume, sell more units.
Yeah.
And the dealer's thinking, hey, I'm doing fine fixing old cars, and I don't want to take on more inventory that I have to pay fast on. That conflict is what really shapes this road ahead.
What about the luxury market? The report separates mass market from premium. Is that buyer immune to this?
They're not immune, no. The symptoms are just different. In the luxury space, the report highlights a huge shift from buying to leasing.
Why leasing?
High interest rates make buying a $90,000 car.
Yeah.
It's just bad math. You lose so much to interest. So wealthier buyers are moving to short-term leases. They're hedging their bets.
They're renting the lifestyle instead of owning the depreciating asset.
That's a perfect way to put it. And the projection for luxury this year end is soft. Even the high-end buyer is thinking twice.
So, okay, let's pull all this together. Inventory, credit, EVs, service. The report's titled, What to Expect. If you had to distill this for someone listening right now, what's the headline?
The headline is volatility and opportunity. The market is broken. And in those broken spots, you can find opportunities.
So if you're a cash buyer,
you actually have less leverage than you'd think because dealers want the financing income. But if you are a buyer with a strong credit score, the manufacturers are about to subsidize your loan to get a car off their books.
And if you have a trade-in?
Be very careful. The report suggests trade-in values are going to keep getting softer. Dealers are already flooded with used cars. They don't want to overpay for yours. The road ahead for a trade-in is bumpy. You might be better off selling it privately.
That's a really good tip. Okay, one last thing. The digital retail section. We've been hearing for years that buying a car would become like buying shoes online. Is that happening?
It shows it's stalling, actually. The click-to-buy trend has flattened. It turns out when cars are this expensive, people want to touch them.
They want to drive them.
They want to drive them. They want to sit across a desk and negotiate. The report actually projects that physical foot traffic in dealerships will be a more critical metric this quarter than website clicks.
That feels so counterintuitive.
It does. But high prices make consumers conservative. They take fewer risks, and buying a car you've never seen is a big risk.
So the road ahead is actually leading us back to the old school showroom floor.
In many ways, yes. But a showroom floor that is under immense, immense pressure.
Okay, let's wrap this up. The report lays out three scenarios for the year end. A soft landing, a correction, and a crash. Where does the data seem to lean?
It leans heavily toward a correction. It doesn't predict a total crash.
Mm-hmm.
Employment is still too strong for that. But it does predict a painful correction where manufacturers have to swallow their pride and really incentivize sales. The days of take-it-or-leave-it pricing are over.
The pendulum is finally swinging back.
It is. It's not fully on the buyer's side yet, but it's moving. The end of the year is going to be a battleground.
I think that's the perfect framing for it, a battleground.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my final thought for you to chew on. We've talked about how broken this whole dealership model feels right now. If this correction the report predicts is as painful as it says, are we watching the slow death of the traditional car dealership?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if inventory costs are too high and the margins are too thin, at what point do the manufacturers just say, forget it, we're selling direct like Tesla?
That is the existential threat that's sort of lurking in the footnotes of this entire report. If the dealer network becomes more of a liability than an asset, then the road ahead might lead to a completely different map altogether.
Something to think about. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
Safe driving.
We'll see you on the next one.